is Friday. People outside drinking. People are happy. Lots of freedoms coming to us very soon. My collection is looking very good. I mean, if you had to come into the studio, it actually looks like I'm an alcoholic and I do nothing but just drink in the studio, which isn't the case. I'm almost there. I've got another 5 bottles to collect. Well, to bring in, not to collect, to bring into the studio. And then that's it. Then the collection is done. I've had such a really good day. I didn't even plan out to be a good day. I woke up and I reminded myself that I need to check the corona appointment. And I didn't think my year would come up this soon, but it did. And I've managed to book myself a appointment at NDSM, which I still think sounds like an underground festival for crackheads. But it's not. It's just a place where young entrepreneurs go. They need to change that name, NDSM. Sounds like a place for meth addicts. So I've got my appointment on the 20. I'm going to try this in Dutch. On maandag. I don't know how to say 28. 28 of uni. 28. So it's close enough. And then my other one is in Augustus. So I'm very happy. I'm going to get my vaccine. I don't know which one. I'm hoping Pfizer. Although I got nothing against the Moderna vaccine. But I just think with Pfizer, it's more safe. I haven't heard any side effects from that. So let's hope it's Pfizer. Because obviously you don't get to choose. So let's see. We're going to be talking with our social media chief. She's here in the studio. She's getting herself ready. And she was talking to me and asking me, what do I need to say? How do I need to act? How do I need to behave? And I said, listen, this isn't a radio interview. Just be yourself. So we're going to be talking to her. She's going to be asking me some questions, which I don't know what she's going to be asking me. She's doing some stuff at the moment for social media. Our social media account is looking really good. So if you haven't already, follow us at Amsterdam Lab. You can also find us on Facebook at Amsterdam Lab. And of course, if you are like me, old-fashioned, you can also follow us on Twitter, Amsterdam Lab. I mean, I've made it so easy for you guys. I was at Albert Heijn the other day, and I've mentioned this to a few people, and a few people have actually told me that the person that I saw, basically what happened is, because I'm collecting these bottles, and I'm going through I'm picking up each bottle from the crate, as I do, and this kid in an Albert Heijn suit comes up to me, and he says something to me in Dutch. I guess he's asking me if I need any assistance, and I said, no, I'm okay. But this person looked like a kid, and I'm pretty confident it was a kid. I mean, they had no facial hair. They just looked like a kid, which is okay for me, because I mean, I'm the kind of person, give jobs for everyone. It's good. But when you're working in the alcohol department, stacking shelves, so I don't know. A lot of people have told me there's a lot of these kids that look like they are 10, but they're actually 20. I don't know. To me, that looked like a kid to me. I don't know. It's not, as I said, it's not a problem. I just think you shouldn't be working in the alcohol department. But anyway, Joe Biden is in England. He's knocking some sense into Boris Johnson's head. He actually said something. He actually said something interesting, that he was going to pledge more vaccines, 500 million, I think it was, to the rest of the world, which is a kind gesture. But have a listen to the beginning of his speech. It kind of looks like something, he swallowed his tongue or something before he was expecting to talk. Have a listen to this. It's quite interesting.
From the beginning of my presidency, we've been clear-eyed that we need to attack this virus globally as well. This is about our responsibility, our humanitarian obligation, to save as many lives as we can, and our responsibility to our values. We value the inherent dignity of all people. In times of trouble, Americans reach out to offer help and offer a helping hand. That's who we are. And when we see people hurting and suffering anywhere around the world, we seek to help as best we can.
Which is a nice gesture. I think the thing about this whole G7 summit is that a lot of people and a lot of countries are looking at this. I know South Africa's been invited, India's been invited. Quite a few people have, or a lot of countries are saying, you know, it's a kind gesture, but, you know, I think that you should be pledging a lot more since they have a lot more vaccines. But if you listen to Murat from the beginning, he actually sounds like he's choking on his tongue because he goes, have a listen to this.
From the beginning of my presidency, we've been clear-eyed.
So I don't know what that was all about, but good on Joe Biden. I'm actually so glad he's president because, I really hated America when Donald Trump was president. So well done to Joe Biden for pledging 500 million vaccines. I think it's a start, and they're hoping to get everyone vaccinated by the end of next year, third world countries, which I think is quite a steep thing to do, but we'll take anything we can get. I think it's time now to interview, if I can call it that, our social media chief. She's here in the studio. Her name is Shakira, and she's been doing a lot of good things. I recruited her because, well, we needed someone in social media. I was actually going to recruit her for the show, but then I thought, you know what, your CV is quite good, and I think you're much better for a social media person, and it's you've proven me right. So, hello, Shakira, how are you?
Hi, Wade. I am doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good, very good. I just thought I'd get all that boring stuff over and done with. Hello, how are you, and all of that.
Perfect. All the niceties. Yeah, so, I mean, hi, everyone. Yeah, as Wade said, my name is Shakira. It's spelled with a double A, but because the singer and I look so alike, everyone just says it exactly the same.
Mm.
That may or may not be a falsehood. But yeah, so as Wade said, I've joined the team, social media chief. I like the sound of the word chief, so we'll keep it. And I've been doing a bit of posting and stuff on social media accounts, getting some traction, reaching out to all of you, getting Wade on there, but more, he does not like taking photos and stuff.
No, it's not that I don't like it. It's just, what is there to take of me? I'm just, look at me. I'm just Wade. There's nothing there, nothing more to give. Do you want to pull the microphone closer to you? Because you keep disappearing. You can grab it.
Got it. All right. Yeah, no, I'm new to the whole podcast thing. So, but yeah, as Wade said, I have decided to interview Wade today. I pitched this idea to him because I said, you know what? You've been the host for how many months now? Like almost a year, to be fair. Just shy of a year, right?
Almost a year, yeah.
It'll be your year in September. And I said, you know what? You have been the host, but do your listeners actually know who is Wade Hutchinson? What do we need to know? What do we want to know? So I've been quite keen to interview Wade, ask him a few questions, get some answers, some fun stuff, some serious stuff.
It'll
be a mixed bag.
What do you want to ask me?
So let's start off easy. So where were you born, Wade Hutchinson?
Oh, God. So with these kind of questions,
you have to roll with all of them.
Okay. Born in South Africa.
Where in South Africa?
Durban, although I there is a current law case going on with my parents about that. And grew up in Johannesburg.
The best place for everyone out there listening.
It is. That's the only reason why the country is actually, the economy is so good, because if you gave it to Cape Town, well, the economy would be finished by 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you gave it to Durban, yeah, Durban's just full of racists, so that wouldn't work.
Interesting take. Okay, yeah, we'll come back to that. Yeah.
No, Durban's full of racists. I know a lot of people from Durban who are racists, and they all live in England, and they're open about it.
Okay, so before we get there, so born in Durban, raised in Johannesburg, moved to the UK at the age of?
I was 17 when I moved to the UK, and the thing about moving to the UK was I just started making inroads in my career. So I just, in regards to that, I just started making small talk with contacts within radio in South Africa. And
how did you get into that?
I attended a few gigs at the radio station, and you know that's how you do it. So I remember attending a concert that 5FM hosted. It was, I think it was called 5FM Live on Saturdays or whatever it was called. Mm-hmm. They would bring Prime Circle in and the Parlor Tones.
Oh my god, Prime Circle! Do you remember them? They were so good.
Well, Natasha. Small funny story, Natasha, the girl, one of Natasha's best friends, her name is Eleni.
Yeah.
Eleni Jocks, right? She's also on ENCA. Okay. No, she was. Now she's on CNN and she's a terrific person. She dated the singer of Prime Circle, the lead singer.
What's his name again? I don't know if you know. Okay, that was an arbitrary question. Back to the point. So you started making waves.
I feel
waves.
Like I should know.
You started making waves at SA Radio, or at least trying to make connections, and then you got whisked away to the UK by your parents. Why did they decide to move then and there?
It was mainly because my sister was already there, and my sister... I say it was more on the lines of propaganda. She used a lot of propaganda, and at the time, my sister was the only person who had kids. And my mother loves kids, so she didn't need any kind of invitation to come to the UK to get closer to the grandkids. So my sister would send a lot of messages we didn't have WhatsApp then, so it'll be via Skype and all of that, you know, just stuff that my mother's really gullible about. So stuff that, you know, the grandkids are missing you so much, and then she'd post videos. She'd send my mother videos of the grandkids playing in the garden, and look how much they're missing their grandmother.
So to be fair though, how many siblings do you have? So are you the youngest? You have one older sister?
So I have two older sisters.
Okay, and the eldest was in the UK at this time.
The oldest one, the oldest one is still there. She's never going to leave the UK. I don't talk to her at all. I have another sister, the middle sister, also older than me, and I have a really good relationship with her.
Why don't we talk to older sisters? Is there like something specific, or is it just like different ages, different paths?
Well, yeah, my older sister, as I said, she's just
different wavelengths. Just
loves England, loves everything about England, likes to talk a lot of shit about South Africa.
Okay,
and then. And then, yeah, you know, so far as to she has the fake British accents, but then the moment South Africa plays rugby or the moment the sun is out, then it's all about South Africa. Let's have a braai. Let's watch the rugby. Right. Come on, Springboks. Come on, South Africa.
Yeah. So, and she moved there in the first place? How? Oh, why?
My brother-in-law got offered a job.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your parents were like, yes, we want to see your grandkids. Let's move. I think, Wade, you're probably the only child living at home at that point, right? So they're like, cool, let's hop over to the UK. And you moved there when you were 17.
Yeah.
And you lived there. And for how many years did you live there?
I left last year. So I got there in 2008. And I left last year. So 12 years.
Yeah.
12 years too long.
Okay, so you pretty much hated it from the moment you got there.
I hated it the moment my parents booked the tickets.
So let's talk about why. Why this heckle with the UK?
There's nothing there interesting. There's laws for everything. I mean, I've dubbed the UK Switzerland 2.0.
Okay.
Because imagine Switzerland. They love their laws.
Mm-hmm.
The UK is the same. You can't do anything. You can't be in the park after 10 o'clock. You can't do this. You can't barbecue in the park. You can't do... It's just, what's the point of living?
Okay, yeah.
They miserable people. The weather's miserable. Everything is old. The people there are really rude to you. I've never met anyone that's made me feel very welcomed in the UK.
Okay. And then what happened in the UK regarding all your radio vibe? Because you were obviously quite interested in getting into radio in South Africa. You moved across to the UK and you obviously had this interest in radio and getting into it. And then how did that sort of, maybe actually just to backtrack, where did that interest spring from? Was it always just sort of there? And maybe just talk us through that and how that blossomed in the UK.
So I've always had a love for entertaining people. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to be a cricket player.
Oh, are you good at cricket?
I like to think so.
Okay.
But obviously, coming from the country I come from, politics plays a part in that.
Okay.
And for me, politics should stay far away from sports.
Mm-hmm.
You should be representing your country based on your skills, not because of the color of your skin.
I mean, yeah, of course, but that's much easier said than done given the history of South Africa.
Absolutely, and that's why I thought, you know what, there are tons of talented players on both sides that don't get the chance to play because, their political views are different to that of the ANC, or it needs to leave.
I don't know if it's that simplified, but how did you, what like position did you play in cricket? Does cricket have positions? Is it like soccer?
So I played in all positions. I was what they call an all-rounder.
Okay, so you get up bowling,
batting, fielding,
okay,
keeping.
Okay, so you first realized you liked entertaining, you liked.
Yeah, so entertaining. I mean, obviously cricket. In cricket, like with what they have, T20.
Yeah.
T20 is all about putting on a show.
Yeah.
So obviously I realized, you know, look, I'm not about to waste my time and waste my talent on something like politics. So I thought, okay, well, what else can I do? What else should I do? What else do I enjoy? And I remember listening to, and, you know, yes, Gareth Cliffe is, I look up to him, but it wasn't just him. There were a lot of people on radio at the time that had very interesting shows. I mean, I remember people like ENF or Sasha Martiningo.
Oh my gosh, that name, yeah.
Who else?
Wasn't he on a Friday, like Friday with Sasha Martiningo or Friday evening or something?
He used to have his own show in the evenings, yeah. And then they moved him to the afternoon shows with ENF because the two of them joined pairings.
It was only 5FM, right? No Highfeld, so very specific.
Yeah, well, Highfeld doesn't have talent.
Okay, I'm going to beg to differ right there because I actually grew up listening to Highfeld as opposed
okay,
to
well,
FM. I really liked it.
Just a heads up, there's a lot of people who were on 5FM who are now on Highfeld.
Yeah.
And the only reason they're on Highfeld is because Highfeld's paying them more.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but if you're passionate, money shouldn't be the case.
Okay.
About whatever it is, whether you're a cricket player, a radio presenter, a politician, whatever.
Okay, so you were interested in 5FM radio growing up, and then I believe you, something about money to buy a recording set.
So what happened is my dad had this really old Philips recorder in the lounge.
Right.
And I would always look at this recorder in interest, and I thought, how does this thing work? I was interested in this kind of stuff. And I think the recorder, the actual record player, didn't work. That's how old it was. But the tape still worked. So there were tapes that I would, you know, in the old days, we would, because there was no such thing as download, so you would tape on the radio what they were saying. So you would tape
yeah.
a song.
Yeah,
and then you would get irritated when the DJ would start saying, it's Bon Jovi on 5, time now is 25 minutes after.
Yeah, you have to just get it.
Shut
the tape
fuck up.
Just before.
Yeah,
just before
you would have to know when the DJ wasn't going to talk.
Yeah.
So I would have songs already taped, like my favorite songs on the radio. And that's how I would go by. I mean, I think I sounded like, you know, the best thing ever. But if I had to listen to myself, I'd probably die of embarrassment.
How old were you at this point?
So this must have been when I was about 11 or 12.
Okay.
Around there. And yeah, I would irritate my sister in the living room because she would be watching Seven Dylan and, you know.
Seven Dylan, okay, so quite into.
Yeah. And yeah, at the time, my middle sister, yeah, so she would be, it would be after school, she would be watching soaps. So it was either.
Like Copper Six. Yeah. I know that for sure.
The Days of Our Lives and Bold and the Beautiful and all of that. And, you know, when you're young and you've got headphones on and you start shouting because you can't hear yourself and I'm on the radio. So it was like that. And then she would get irritated because she's trying to watch the TV and you've got an idiot like me who's thinking he sounds better than sliced bread, which wasn't the case. So that's where that whole passion came from. And obviously listening to people on radio thinking, wow, these guys are actually interesting. I'm engaged by what you're saying. I don't want to hear what the time is.
Yeah.
Because you can tell me what the time is.
Yeah, your phone can tell you nowadays.
Mm, and that's what they do in Heartfelt.
How dare you.
So that love grew. And then, yeah, and then obviously Gareth came along. And then he basically set the limits for what you can and can't say and can't do on the radio and all of that. And that's when I realized, well, that's what I want to do. I want to make it... Because a lot of people, and I remember him being interviewed by someone.
So just to take this one step back, maybe for those people who don't know who Gareth Cliff is, aka your idol, like maybe give us a bit of a brief background. Who is he? Why do you like him so much? And then let's continue.
So I like Gareth Cliff because he was always that guy who, and this goes back to what I was going to say now, where he was interviewed on a magazine. I can't remember what the magazine was. And everybody that complained against him, they kept listening to him because they wanted to know what he was going to do next, what he was going to say next. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, you know, that's great because you're keeping your listeners, even your haters, in suspense because you don't know what he was going to do next or say next. So Gareth Cliff started on campus radio. He did all kinds of outrageous things on campus radio, which I think you should do because it's campus radio. He got fired. He worked for a talk radio station, 702. And he then went over to 5FM, which is for all our UK listeners. 5FM is like Radio 1. So,
and for your Amsterdam listeners or your Netherlands?
3FM.
Oh, wow. I was expecting you to actually not have an answer because I don't listen to Dutch radio at all.
3FM. So it's owned by the local broadcaster.
Okay.
NOS, I think they call it. Or
NOS.
NPO or whatever it is. Yeah. I listened to him and I would listen to him because his shows would be different every day. You know, obviously his format would be the same, but the kind of topics you would have would be very engaging. I mean, as a 12, 13-year-old, I was even like, What is he going to do next? Who's going to call him next? He used to have homeless people that would call him on his afternoon radio show.
Right.
That to me is entertaining because I think they also deserve to have a voice. Right. So that kind of stuff interests me more on that. And yeah, so that's where the love grew. And then obviously having such a passion at such a young age, I couldn't work on radio. So I thought, okay, well, let me make my own radio station.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. There was an empty room that we had in my house. And yeah, I would save pocket money that I was supposed to be using for my lunch at school. And I would starve myself, which is why I have the physique that I have. It's because of this. And that shows you how passionate and the love I have for radio. So I would every week, I think I would save like 100 rand, which back then was... a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. So would you say that the passion is essentially you one liking entertainment, you being fascinated by radio and the sorts of topics they can sort of bring up and talk about and all those sorts of things, and basically your love of radio is a merger of all of that stuff, right?
Yeah, it's a factor of things. I mean, I like making people happy.
Mm-hmm. People pleaser? Joking.
I wouldn't say I'm a people pleaser. I just, you know, if... And this is the thing about this. This is what makes radio in South Africa different to around the world. You know, if you listen to radio, people in South Africa have a lot of high pressure jobs.
Yeah.
And those people in high pressure jobs want their minds to be taken off their work when they're going either to work or coming home from work.
Yeah.
And it's a special talent. It's not everyone can do that. And someone like Gareth could do it because... You know, you could be stressed at work and know that I'm going to listen to Gareth because he's going to make me, he's going to make my journey a lot more pleasurable.
Mm-hmm.
So I started my own radio station, and only two people could listen. Those two people were my parents.
Oh, so sweet.
But it was something I took really seriously. So every week, once I managed to save up 100 rand, I would buy a microphone. I bought a mixing desk. And every week, I'll start kitting out the studio. And by the time I left to move to the UK, this was in 2016. And we moved in... I'm lying. I started in 2015. 2005. I'm getting my years mixed up. 2005, I started this. And then in 2008, we moved to the UK. So about 2 years, 2.5 years or whatever.
Right. And at that point, you were then 17, right?
Yes.
So a lot more experience. A lot taller, obviously.
Yeah, skinny as hell. Ugly as hell. My face was like a pizza face. I had... Everything hit me. But that was just puberty and teenagehood.
Yeah, yeah.
And then obviously, you know, listening to 5FM. And the only time I could go to the station was when they had these events. So that was my opportunity to network with people. And I did. I managed to network with a person called Catherine Greenfeld. And she produced many shows. She produced Mark Gilman for a little bit. And then she produced The Fresh Drive with DJ Fresh. She was the producer. And she hosted the 5FM Live on Saturdays or whatever it was called. And I met her and I told her about my passion and all of that. And she's probably been told this by many people that love radio. And she said, okay, well, let's keep in touch, you know.
Yeah.
And
a lovely diplomatic answer. Yes. And then did you keep in touch?
We did. Okay. And we did. We kept in touch and... I then started meeting some other people within 5FM and all of that. So, you know, I was on a pie.
Yeah.
And
then the UK came along.
Yeah. So that's where I moved to the UK and, yeah, started working on a community radio station. Had a lot of potential. There was a lot of people there, like-minded people who, like me, who understood radio and got radio. And there's a lot of...
What do you think comes with understanding radio? When you say understood radio and got radio, what does that mean?
You understand your audience.
Okay.
And you know the boundaries and you know what to do, what not to do.
Okay.
People who work on radio now are happy playing 5 songs, telling you what the time is, giving you weather updates and... In 4 hours' time, you go home. People who understand radio and have this connection with radio know exactly, they study their audience. So they every time they get a caller or if they get an email or if someone meets them, they take all of that in.
Right.
And then they process it. Okay, so these are the kind of people that are listening to me. This is what they want.
Right.
This is how I'm going to model my show on. So there are a lot of people who, you know, like me, who had this serious passion for radio and understood what radio was all about. Okay. Obviously, being a community station, there was not a lot of money. And it shut down after 4 months being on air. But I was already out the door because I had 2 radio jobs. I was working on a student radio station.
Oh, you overachiever. And where else?
So I started working there and I got fired from that station because I celebrated that Michael Jackson had died, which Michael Jackson was a creep. So I'm sorry, but he was. So got fired from there and then obviously moved to Wales. My family moved to Wales. I started studying in Wales, did some bits and pieces on radio in Wales.
And what did you study in Wales?
I studied something called tort, which is basically like...
It's like law, right? No.
Yeah, it teaches you the right from wrong. So like Judge Judy.
Okay.
If you've ever heard of Judge Judy.
Of course, some small court tort like cases and stuff and who's wrong and who's right and he didn't pay his rent and all that kind of stuff.
It basically tells you common sense. You think people have, but they don't.
So why did you choose that? Like, what was the logic there? Were you like, I'm going to become Judge Judy? Or Judge
No, I had a fascination with politics, but politics itself is very expensive to study.
Right.
And taught was like next to nothing.
Okay.
So I thought, okay, well, it's still politics.
It's like a nice, you know, start, a base.
Exactly. So yeah, I studied that. And then whilst I was studying taught, I also worked on the campus station and I got fired there, which wasn't my fault, by the way. I didn't actually do anything. I didn't, for once, it wasn't actually my fault that I got fired.
Okay, what happened?
I happened to be around, because I was, if I wasn't in lectures and in classes, I was at the station.
Right.
So you would always find me there. And one of the girls that was hosting a weekday show, it was a really terrible show. And if anything, I made that show popular. She asked me, and this showed you how bad her show was. She asked me, do you have any ideas what I can do for my show?
Yeah.
So I said, yeah, I've got a bunch of ideas. So she said to me, okay, well, tell me. So I said, okay, well, what is your show about? What can I say? What can't I say? And she said, you can say anything you want on my show.
And I'm guessing you said something controversial and or something involved cussing? And then
it wasn't.
Fired.
No, it wasn't. Neither. I made sure before I asked the question, I said, I can say anything I want. And she said, you can say anything on my show. So she was playing a song and she came back from the song and she said, oh, we have Wade in the studio. And she made a mess up of my show because I told her I was on Saturdays and she said I was on Sundays or whatever. So that already, you know. Anyway, and she asked me a question and I said, oh, why don't we have this for a topic? And I said, what did I say? I said, do you think of your lover when you're doing it?
Okay.
Which is a very valid question. Do you? Because if you're in a long-standing relationship and you're doing it, surely seeing that same person, how do you get aroused? What makes you aroused about that person? Do you think of somebody else? Do you think of your ex? Do you think of a famous person?
Okay, so you were fired. You were axed for that. Obviously.
Well, funny enough, she got quite a lot of people listening. I think that's probably the only time she had people listening to her show was because of that. And yeah, the station manager didn't like me because I was so edgy. And yeah, she called me into the office one day and she said, based on what you said, we're not going to suspend you. We're going to fire you. Okay. Well, it wasn't my fault because I made sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that happened. And yeah, did bits and pieces of work on radio in Wales. I was a call screener. So a call screener is that person who has that unfortunate job of when you phone a radio station, you're the first person who answers the phone, not the DJ. And then, you know, depending on what the show is, I unfortunately had the chance of screening calls for a rugby talk show, and I don't like rugby.
Gasp from the audience. Wade is South African and doesn't like rugby.
Oh, no, the audience knows this. I mean, people had to tell me the World Cup was on.
I will watch anything that's a World Cup. Like, if it's like a soccer World Cup, I'll watch it. If it's rugby, if it's cricket, I'm less inclined. But anything that's a World Cup, I'll watch. But I wouldn't claim to say that I'm like a soccer fan. I mean, I do like rugby. Mainly only when South Africa plays, though. I don't really do local rugby.
Well, I'm just not a rugby fan.
Okay. So.
So I had the unforeseeable job of screening calls from angry Welsh listeners. And if anyone knows Wales,
with rugby, yeah.
They love, I mean, I've always said if South Africa was a first world country,
yeah,
it would be Wales, because that's all they talk about, that's all they think about.
Wales. Isn't the accent like Wales? Don't they say it like that?
I'm from the mountains.
The mountains. Oh,
it's okay. Very singy.
Yeah.
Their voice,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so the call screening thing, not your jam either.
It's just, yeah, you get people screaming down the phone for you because they disagree with what the guest said.
Right.
And you have to go, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Let me just put you on hold.
Mm.
And then you transfer the call to the studio and all of that. Or they would, and there are a lot of lonely people. they would want to talk to you after the guest is finished.
That's tricky though.
And I'm like, I don't particularly want to talk to you about rugby.
Yeah.
Because then there's not a lot of South Africans in Wales. So my accent was very, it stuck out.
So after this stint, I'm assuming this is sort of drawing to the end of your time in the UK and you moved to Amsterdam about a year ago.
No, so I moved to London, started working on radio in London. Well, not in London, just outside of London, on a station called Insanity Radio, which is a youth-based station. So it's based on Radio 1, 5 FM, you know, it's all about stuff I don't really care about, social media and all of that.
Social media?
Trends.
What?
Trends and Kardashians and, yeah.
Sounds insane.
Yeah, so I loved my time there. And, yeah, I started there in 2015,
mm-hmm.
did the breakfast show and almost got fired. But that was just because I decided to change breakfast because breakfast radio in the UK is appalling. It's shocking. It's really bad. It's really bad.
There's a lot of firing or near firing in your story, which is interesting. Because then I'm curious, how did you clearly have the love for it. So did it ever deter you or you're like, oh my gosh, maybe I should reconsider this, or you just kept going?
Well, no, if anything, it made me want to keep going because I didn't want to be that guy who just plays music.
Yeah. So you wanted to be the person having the important conversations. Yeah,
because
and
I think
asking the questions.
Exactly. There are a lot of important people and there's a lot of people there that, as I said right in the beginning, deserve to be heard.
Yeah.
I want to have that conversation with someone who's had a bad day. Yep. Tell me about your bad day.
But for you, every time you got fired, it was more like, okay, well, that's just not the right path. Let's keep going. Let's find another path to do the thing that I love.
It was more on the lines of I grilled someone. So I grilled a politician or I grilled a celebrity. And the station didn't like that because that politician could have been listening to us.
Okay.
So it was on the lines of that. And you wouldn't, like, especially in the UK, they have very strict laws when it comes down to elections. So you can't talk about elections.
Yeah.
In case you give the other person ideas. So, for example, if I like the Labour Party, I can't praise the Labour Party during elections because I could sway voters.
Okay.
But if you've been a Conservative voter all your life, what difference does it make if I'm praising Labour Party? I'm not going to persuade you to vote for Labour.
Okay.
Anyway, so I would say I would compare the Conservatives to the Labour, and I would compare the other parties, but I would play songs about them.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you can't do that. So there are many things that I would do on my show, but that was the whole thing about me was I wanted to be different. I wanted to engage the people. I wanted people that, whenever I would go on the radio, they would want to know, what am I going to say next? What am I going to do?
So it wasn't. So now Insanity was the last job before you moved to mm-hmm. Amsterdam, right? Okay. Yeah. So
what happened was, I didn't even know it was going to be my final show. So I would always imitate the Elephant Man, which is something I always did on my radio show. And funny enough, I actually said to my producer at the time, Tarek, that I said, you know, I think management are running out of ideas to suspend me for, because I think that was the case, because towards the end I was getting suspended for ridiculous things, and I said this to him, and the next show I imitated the Elephant Man,
mm-hmm.
and I got suspended,
mm-hmm.
And then he said to me, okay, what do you want to do? What should I say to management? And I said to him, Don't bother. Don't even try reinstating me, because I'm not interested. I'm tired of building something and getting broken down.
Mm.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
And so
producers. Yep.
Exactly. So he said to me, okay, what do you want to do? So I said, okay, well, let's do this podcasting thing. And I've always been very apprehensive about podcasting because I've had this vision in my mind that it's some guy in his bedroom talking in a microphone in his underpants. And I've always been apprehensive of that. Or broadcasting from your bedroom and you're having a guest come and you're going to interview a guest and take a seat on my bed. I'll be with you in 5 minutes.
Okay.
I've always, you know, but that's what podcasting is. It was never supposed to be what we have here at Amsterdam Lab.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And now it's taking them all by storm. There's so many interesting, good formats, podcasts, all of the things out there, right?
And now you can broadcast right from your phone. You don't even need a microphone. You can record from your phone.
Yeah. And do all the publishing and stuff like that from your phone.
Right? Exactly, yeah. You can do everything by your phone. So, you know, I said, okay, well, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it properly.
Yeah.
So we set up a few meetings in London with some publishers. And yeah, those meetings went well. And then about 2 or 3 days later, before, as we were about to record our first show, the country closes because of Corona.
Right. Because you also, you moved to Amsterdam during Corona, right? So, okay, cool. So you had all the stuff shut down, was about to progress in the UK, came to a bit of a halt. What happened then?
So obviously, you know, I was never a fan of the UK.
We know this, yes.
I thought, okay, maybe this is a calling. Maybe my time is just up in the UK.
It's a sign from the universe. Do you believe in spiritual stuff?
No.
Okay. I don't. Well, could it be a sign from the universe?
I just recently became a citizen of the UK, and I waited so long for that passport.
Yeah.
So at the time, Brexit already happened, but the UK was still in a transitional phase. So they were in the EU, but they weren't in the EU. So I still had the same benefits and rights as any other EU citizen. So
that
I got
passport privilege.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, let me leave the UK. Let me start, go to a country I've never been to. Let me start off fresh.
So why the Netherlands? Why Amsterdam?
Glowing
review, because I mean, to be fair, the weather is almost exactly the same as the UK. Like,
but there's a lot more freedoms here.
Okay. Came for the freedom. You came for the thing that everyone says Dutch are so liberal and it's so liberal, all of the things.
And also you can speak English here. And a lot of Dutch people prefer to speak English rather than Dutch for some strange reason.
Okay. Is that true though? Because I feel like they, I don't know about prefer, but I feel like they will speak English to you, obviously. Like, I mean, in Amsterdam, we're spoiled, right? Like, I'm...
The whole of the Netherlands.
Okay, definitely
Utrecht.
In the main cities. Yeah. But of course, if you go to somewhere, cities and stuff, it's much harder. Even sometimes on the phone, like, I can call and I'm like, hey, can you be an Engels helper? And then someone will be like, I can try, or my English isn't that good. I'm like, you know what? We will do a team effort. Ik leer Nederlands. We can make this work. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I agree with you that we're spoiled. As expats, we're spoiled. Like, people speak English to us much easier. Sorry. But... Yeah,
so the real reason,
everyone.
So the reason I came to the Netherlands was mainly because I was also fed up of the UK, but also and this shows you how hopeless I am at love. I met someone on a dating app, and everything went well.
In
you know,
the UK or here?
Yeah, I would never engage with a woman in the UK.
Okay.
And everything was well. You know, this was during Corona, and we would phone each other and FaceTime each other, and it was fantastic. And, you know, we started getting to know each other a little bit more.
Was she Dutch?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, when you... And I'm a very... It takes a long time for me to open up about personal things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. You know, I thought it was time for me to start saying stuff that I would only say to people whom I trust. And... I thought, okay, well, this is great. She's a very pretty girl, very attractive girl, and the kind of person that I like in regards to her personality.
Yeah.
I don't like a Kim Kardashian. Mm. I can't date someone like that. So very realistic and about life and all of that. Maybe she was just Dutch. Anyway, something, I don't know what happened, but she stopped talking to me and I was like, what the fuck?
She ghosted you or what?
I don't know what happened. Maybe she was just talking to a lot of guys.
But she stopped replying.
Yeah. Because, you know, it was the start of Corona and dating apps got a lot of subscriptions during Corona. So she might have just got a lot of interest from a lot of guys. I mean, if I got a lot of interest from girls, I'd probably also do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, this can't be.
Yeah.
So I already had my mind set. I was going to leave anyway, but this just gave me more. This gave me more encouragement. So I did.
To leave.
Yes, to leave the UK.
Okay.
So I did. You know, I did the whole house hunting myself. I found a job. I did all of that, and I didn't tell her because I know what you women are like. You know, the moment the guys want to do something sweet and romantic, you're like, no, please don't do that.
Oh my gosh.
Please don't do that.
Huge generalization, but yes, I'll allow that. You tell your story. It's fine. Yeah, this is your version. Yeah.
So I know that's what girls are like. The moment you want to be nice to them. Mm-hmm. And I kept this whole thing quiet. And the day I was going to leave, I didn't tell her. I started taking like pictures of the airport and all of that.
Oh, leaving a little trail of breadcrumbs.
Yeah. And nothing, no response. So I get to Amsterdam. I didn't even know if I was going to even be allowed to travel. That's how I didn't even know if I was going to get through customs.
Okay.
Because it was Corona.
Yeah.
And you had to have a valid reason. So I booked my ticket not knowing if I was even going to be allowed. Turns out the only difficulties I had was in the UK.
Oh.
The Dutch didn't. I went to that e-passport gate. I didn't even look at an immigration officer. Scanned my passport and Schiphol. Here I was. They didn't even ask me nothing. No one came up to me for tests, Corona tests, nothing.
So you actually moved here for love. That's actually so romantic. Aww, do we have an aww sound effect?
No, we don't. We have, let me see. We have something. Aww. Where is it? We have,
audience thing.
We have this.
I mean, it works, sort of. But you
know, I mean, come on. You're going to give me a bit of effort, don't I?
Okay, so you've been chatting to this girl, and you guys only done the dating app thing, where you were on WhatsApp, right? Like
we exchanged numbers and all that, yeah.
Okay, so you moved here for her. You told her you were here in a very
and I said, oh, sort of way. Yeah. So I said to, so I'm here. No, what did I say? I said, oh, did you like my surprise? I said that to her, and she said, and her response was, oh, you're here now.
Okay. Not what we expected.
I was expecting, oh yes, I saw this. You're here in Amsterdam or something along those lines. Her response was, oh, you're here now.
But you had stopped talking for a while before you started
telling. She had stopped talking to me.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, okay. It wasn't what I was expecting, but anyway. So I let it be. And anyway, a few days later, I was in Vondelpark.
Famous Vondelpark.
Yeah, and it just happened to be she was at Slotter Plus.
Yeah, in the West.
Yeah, and anyway, so I didn't know this. So I messaged her and she said, oh, I'm actually here. I'm visiting some friends as a birthday. So I went down there and yeah, I met her for the first time.
Oh, and was it everything you dreamed? Because sometimes meeting in person can be very different. Was it everything you dreamed? Do we need a suspense emoji here? Do we need a drum roll?
What do we need? She was everything that I expected her to be.
Lucky. If
I
can. Sounds like a good thing. Although your tone doesn't tell me that. But I'm going to assume.
No, she looked exactly. You know, people lie in their pictures.
Oh, yeah.
So she looked exactly how she did. She reacted the same as she did and all of that. And we were leaving and she was going back to her friend's house whose birthday it was. And then she said to me, oh, thanks for this. This was so nice. I really like this. Let's do this again.
Hmm. And you were like, that was not what I was hoping to
hear. No, that's to me, that sounds like you want to see me again. Let's hang out again.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, this is great. And, I tried to get her to hang out and that just wasn't the case. And then eventually I got fed up because, you know, I'm trying to make an effort and you keep either canceling on the last minute or she just said to me, look, you know, Wade, I'm just not attracted to you.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I'm not crying. I've got hay fever.
Okay. No, wait, he's spending like 10 minutes rubbing his eyes. Okay. Okay. So it just wasn't a click in the end.
Yeah, which makes me, it just, you know, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, I came here for you.
Yeah.
And now you tell me you're not even attracted to me. You could have told me that on the phone. I mean, it's not the first time a girl would say that to me, but I wouldn't have done what I did.
Okay, so you moved here, love story, wonderfully romantic.
Well.
A bit, you know, unfortunate at the end. I mean, it is what it is. And you decided to stay, though.
Yeah, because I like it here. And I decided
what
to
make... especially in comparison. So you say in comparison to the UK, you were like, okay, cool. It's more liberal. It's more free here. Is there anything else? Are Dutch people friendly?
Are they warm? I would say so. I mean, they're a lot more warmer than British people. They're a lot more interested when you say you're from South Africa.
Main thing I get is just, oh, so you speak South Afrikaans. And then I have to be like, well, South Afrikaans is...
Oh, no, they've tried that with me, but I said, sorry, I failed that language.
I mean, but that's what I'm... South Afrikaans is not a language, to be fair. Like, it's Afrikaans, and there's a whole bunch of things we could say about that. But anyways, continue.
There's a lot of things I like about the Netherlands. I also like the fact that I'm in Europe. So if I wanted to, I could take a train to Germany, to Belgium. Yeah, you can't do that in the UK.
Exciting, yeah.
So yeah, there's a factor of things that I like about the Netherlands. I mean, I don't like the fact that I have to pay for health insurance.
My goodness, it's an expensive country to be in.
But you know, there's more pros and cons. Yeah, obviously politicians irritate me, and if you listen to the show,
yeah,
I voice my anger and frustrations at our health minister. But I wouldn't want to live anywhere else.
Okay, strong statement. Loving the life so far that you're living.
I mean, I probably once this becomes a success at Amsterdam Lab, maybe retiring in the Alps in Germany, somewhere in Bavaria.
And maybe we can just touch on, so we know this is the Wade Hutchinson Show, duh, but in terms of Amsterdam Lab, Wade Hutchinson Show, what's the difference, first of all, between when you say Amsterdam Lab and the Wade Hutchinson Show? Are they the same thing?
No, they're two totally different things.
So you heard it here first.
So the Wade Hutchinson Show is what you're listening to now.
Right.
And Amsterdam Lab is the company I created.
Right.
Is the umbrella.
Exactly. That's how I like to think about it, yeah.
Yes. So... A lot of people say, what is Amsterdam Lab? Where does the name come from? And really, I didn't put a lot of effort into this. I was thinking of names, and this name just popped up in my head, Amsterdam. And I thought, okay, well, I can't just call this Amsterdam.
So specific, my yes. goodness.
So I started playing around with Amsterdam, and then I thought, okay, well, let me call it Amsterdam because I'm based in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. We're based
Smart.
Here.
Logical.
Mm-hmm. And... what about lab? I was going to call it laboratory, but I thought that's just, it's too long. So yeah. Let me call it lab. So,
and so like outdated in a way, yeah.
Yeah. So, and what do you do in a lab?
You create things and you do experiments and you see what works and you make, paper mache volcanoes. I don't know.
Yeah. You're on it now. You're on it now. So that's where the whole lab comes into it, because this is what we do. We create stuff. We experiment with stuff. And if it doesn't work, okay, we created it. We experimented with it. Let's move on.
So am I correct in my understanding that Amsterdam Labs, and I suppose we're probably nearing the end of our time, so I have a few, one or two more questions left.
Would
I be right in saying that Amsterdam Lab, if I had to sum it up, is essentially what a platform for creatives, in the sense that, hey, you have the website and all that kind of stuff, and you're like, hey, creatives, oh, you want to come host a podcast? Put it under Amsterdam Lab, the umbrella, and we can just like, support you in that? Like, am I right in understanding that?
Exactly. It's I wanted to create something where if you have an interesting idea or if you have an interesting concept for a show,
you
can do it. Because, having worked in radio, which they say radio is competitive, but there's nothing competitive about radio. I don't know what is competitive about radio. You play 5 songs, you give me a time update. There's nothing competitive about radio. It's just that there are only so many time slots available.
Yeah, the most popular ones, the spit, right?
Exactly. And you always need so many years of experience.
Right.
And that's bullshit, because if you're talented, you should be able, and you've got a serious passion for radio, entertaining, or whatever it is, you should be able to do it. And that was the reason why I started Amsterdam Lab, was because, having worked on radio and seeing a lot of demos being rejected. I mean, there were quite a few demos that I heard that I think should have been on radio. People should have been on radio, but they got rejected based on they don't fit our image. That's how bad radio is. It doesn't fit our image.
Right.
That's bullshit, because who cares? You can be called Classic FM and be outrageous.
I love Classic FM. So would you say that, for instance, anyone who wants to sort of collaborate with you, find out more, a good place to reach you is email, right?
They can email you if they wanted to.
They can email me if they want to.
What's your email address?
My email is my name, so shakira.vanya@ams. Wait.
It should be your name.
I'm still new to the whole thing. Wait, I got this email address the other day. Okay, so it should be yours, Shakira. And then mine will be the same as yours.
So mine will be wade@amsterdamlab.online.
So then mine will be shakira@amsterdamlab.online.
And just remember, it's double A.
Just remember, it is double A. So Shakira, exactly.
Shakira, yes.
Yeah.
And if there's a show that you want to do that you've had this idea about, I mean, I know Shakira mentioned to me it's Pride Month.
Yes.
And I think she should do a show like that. I think she would be interested in interviewing some people. I think just like with anyone, gay people should have a voice. They shouldn't be put down.
Well, yeah, so we'll see how that idea sort of pans out, and I'd be interested to hear if any of your listeners want to sort of reach out and give us any ideas of things they want to hear about, people you should talk to, topics to talk about. I'd be super interested to sort of see what comes through. Final question for you, Wade, to close out this interview. If you had to, you're going to think this is so cheesy, but who doesn't love a good bit of cheese to end off an interview? If you had to describe yourself in 5 words for your listeners, just to get to know you. I mean, I could probably think of a few off the top of my head, but you know yourself best. What would you say?
Five.
Faith in Netherlands. Oh, also, how's your Dutch? It's good. No, it's non-existent, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've only just learned what elke dag means.
Okay. Helaas.
Mm-hmm. Five. Describe myself in 5 words.
In 5 words, yeah.
Weird. Strange. Crazy. Intellectual. How many is that now?
4. Weird, strange, crazy, intellectual. Political? Maybe that's all.
No, I wouldn't say I'm political. I get frustrated with politicians, but I'm not political. And geeky.
Okay.
Because I have, you know, I collect stuff.
Okay, well, I think that was a nice sort of way to end off the interview. And a bit of a summary of who you are, that you're weird, strange. What's the third one?
Crazy.
Oh, wow. Very strong adjectives. Weird, strange, crazy, geeky, and intellectual.
What did you have to say about me? What did you think I was going to say?
I thought you were just going to be like, I don't know, introverted, I like my own company. Intellectual is what I would have seen coming, and opinionated, all that kind of stuff. I wouldn't have. I mean, to be fair, guys, I've just met Wade. I've only known you about like a month and a half now. So weird, crazy, and strange are yet to come.
I'm just honest. And people always say, why do you put yourself down? No, I'm just honest. Anyway.
Yeah, I've definitely said that to you before.
Thank you, Shakira. Before we wrap things up, let's get into some news. Do you want to hear some news before we wrap up?
Always want to hear a good bit of news.
Let's hear what's happened in the world. Please. All right. So people who have been vaccinated against coronavirus will be able to use the Corona Check app to attend a test for entry events from June the 3rd. Our health minister, Hugo de Jong, has said...
Oh, yeah, it came out, it's true. That is bloody...
This was him today saying... The app will allow users, who have been vaccinated from the date that they've received the vaccination, so they'll be able to show their phone to events and bars and all of that, as well as prove that they have had a negative corona test at one of the special test for entry locations nationwide. At the moment, people have to show that they have had a negative test to go to festivals or sports events. Doctors at an Amsterdam hospital believe that there are up to 300 to 400 children in the Netherlands with long-standing health problems resulting from coronavirus. Doctors believe that the disease has had a huge impact on a small group of young people. They've been observing various issues which seem to have been sparked by the virus.
Oh, that's unfortunate. That's actually really sad.
Yeah, I thought that children were immune from coronavirus.
Yeah, isn't that what the doctor said and all those sorts of things?
Supposedly. South Africa has officially declared a third wave of infections.
Oh, no. SA, you were doing so well. I was rooting for you. You're doing so... It's okay, guys. We'll bounce back. Not a problem.
Now, out of the 9 provinces, Gauteng is the worst hit, with over 5,000 new daily cases.
Well, Gauteng has Joburg. Joburg is the money-making city, so...
There's lots of brothels there. Now, the latest statistics show an increase of 844 hospital admissions in the past 24 hours and 127 additional new hospital deaths. Now, as of yesterday, June 10th, South Africa has recorded 9,149 new cases, and in total, that brings all cases to 1,722,000.
I mean, if I could just chime in there to say, I mean, it's winter in SA, and I mean, here in the Netherlands and Europe, when it was winter, of course, cases spiked and stuff as well. So.
It's
expected.
Normal, yeah. With 57,000 total deaths recorded. This comes as South Africa is the worst hit country in Africa. Now, a Australian swimmer has withdrawn from the upcoming Olympic trials after complaining of misogynistic perverts.
Yes, girl. Yes. Put a spotlight on all of them. Yes.
Announcing her decision to withdraw, Madeline Grove said, "Let this be a lesson to all misogynistic perverts and their bootlickers." In 2020, the swimmer said she had complained a few years ago about an unnamed person in the sport that had made her feel uncomfortable.
I actually have no words. It's just so like,
there's a lot of those people that hang around in pools, especially public pools, which is why I don't go there. It's also because people defecate in pools, but that's another reason. Mm. I was actually invited, by the way, speaking of defecating, to go to a pool and swim in Amsterdam. One of my friends said, "Hey, it's going to be hot on the weekend. Do you want to come with us?" It's like, nah.
Okay, my least favorite topic, but yeah.
Now, more than half of adults, listen to this, more than half of adults watched online porn during the pandemic, according to a survey. The survey found that the most popular porn site was Pornhub, which was visited by 50% of all males and 16% of all females. So, you know, females obviously prefer doing the real thing than watching porn. I mean, you know. Former Bosnian Serb army leader Ratko Mladic will have to serve his life sentence after an appeal against his war crimes was rejected. The 79-year-old was known as the Butcher of Bosnia. He was sentenced to life in prison in 2017 after being found guilty of genocide for atrocities committed during the 1992-1995 Bosnian War. The EU said that the UN's court decision to uphold his life sentence brings to an end a key trial in Europe's recent history for war crimes, including genocides. So, good on the UN. For once, they've done something right.
Yeah.
And sent this jerk to prison. Let him suffer. I hate reading stuff like this. All right, everybody. Have yourselves a terrific weekend. Enjoy the weekend. The weather's going to be nice.
And a little bit cloudy, isn't it?
It's, as long as it doesn't rain, it's fine.
And your dad.
Exactly. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And we'll be back on Monday.
Doo-doo.